Welcome back. It's your girl Jasmine, the Proverbs 31 exclusive podcast. I have a few things I want to talk about today, but of course we will start with our positive Bible-based affirmation. That is, I will walk in my God-given purpose no matter how far I get pushed out of my comfort zone. Okay, say it with me this time. I will walk in my God-given purpose no matter how far I get pushed out of my comfort zone. Okay, the scripture for today is a long one. I actually encourage you to read Matthew chapter 25 in its entirety. Today we will go over Matthew 25 verse 14 through 30. And I'm going to try to read that as quickly and as clearly as possible, just because it is a full parable that I believe really speaks to purpose and the gifts that God put inside of us. The little title is The Parable of the Bags of Gold. Again, Matthew 25 verse 14 through 30. It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Sorry, I lost my spot. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I used to read that and I think, like, dang, that's cold. Like, you know, it's not like he stole it. He didn't run off with it or anything like that. But he did not take the time to multiply it. And what was the reason? Because he was afraid. He was walking by fear. He was not walking by faith. That is an example for us of what not to do. And it is scary to try to pursue your purpose, to walk outside of your comfort zone, to, you know, God always has us doing big things. He won't. God never thinks on the same scale that we do. Whatever you think you might be able to do, God knows that he's powered and strengthened you and purposed you to do more. And so it can be a scary thing if we let our natural nature, you know, lead us, if we let our flesh lead us, instead of really walking in accordance to his will and his Holy Spirit. And so, no matter who you are, no matter what you think you can do, God truly has given each of us a gift, but only we decide how we get to use it. Another thing I thought that was interesting about this scripture was that they weren't judged on their faithfulness, wasn't judged in comparison to each other, right? The one with 5 gifts doubled his, the one with 2 gifts doubled his. But when the one who was called wicked and lazy came, the master didn't say to him, why you didn't double yours like the other 2 doubled theirs? He did not compare him. He just said, why didn't you do anything? So I thought that was deep, because a lot of times we will compare ourselves to each other And that's not what God is doing. He's saying, hey, y'all don't all have the exact same thing, right? We're unique. We all have something. It's not going to be the exact same thing. Society may not view one as big as the other, right? But God doesn't use that comparison view of looking at things. The master didn't say, why didn't you do what they did? The master said, why didn't you do anything? He said, you hid it. You walked in fear. You hid it. He said, you could have at least taken it to the bankers so I could have some interest on that thing, right? He didn't demand it. He doubled it just as the other two, although I truly believe that he could have, you know, even though one had two, one had five, and one had the one. I'm sure that he could have doubled it. And maybe walking in faith, he could have done more than double it. You know, God is a God of multiplication. So I truly believe that had he walked in faith, he could have certainly multiplied it. But God was, the master was like, well, you could have at least tried something, did something, but you dug it in the ground because of fear. And I just wonder how many of us are hiding and digging a hole for our talents and our God-given gifts and our purposes, because maybe we don't think it's enough, or maybe we don't think, you know, we can do anything with it, or maybe society tells us that it's not a lot. So right now I just ask that you take a second to think about your talent. What has God given you to contribute to his kingdom? You know, you don't have to be Bishop T.D. Jakes. I use him as an example because I love his teaching, but also because he's, you know, pretty well known amongst most circles. You don't have to be him to contribute to the kingdom. You could write a children's book that could really speak to the heart of one child. You could write a book for adults that could speak to the heart of one individual. You know, are you great with kids? Can you cook your behind off? Does financial stuff just click for you? You know, there are many avenues and levels that can be taken. Do you have a heart for the homeless? You know, then there's your calling might be there. And actually, I do have a journal out that's called Unearthing Purpose. Again, not a plug, but there is that tool there if you care to use it. It's called Unearthing Purpose, the 15-day journal to unlocking your potential. And it's just that, a journal. It takes you on a 15-day journey to really sit down and evaluate some aspects of your life, your thought processes, your pattern, your passions. That is available on Amazon, Unearthing Purpose, of course, by Jasmine Bryant. If you follow me on Instagram at Proverbs 31 Exclusive, it's on there. Like I mentioned last week, my website is up. So you could also just go to www.proverbs31exclusive.com and it's there too. Either way, you know, I also believe you could just really ask the Holy Spirit and go on that journey, you know. However, I do think it's important to evaluate some things in your life. Evaluate some things about yourself, and then also touch base with God and say, you know, what is my purpose? Because you don't got to be a movie star. You don't have to be a famous preacher. You know, you don't have to be what society considers big, right? And I'm doing my little air quotes, because they think that you have to have all this fame and fortune to make any kind of difference in the world. And that is simply not true. God doesn't care about that. When he comes back and he has that conversation with us after, you know, he's raptured us up, it's not going to be like, how many friends did you have on Facebook? How many zeros did you have in your bank account? It's going to be, what did you do with what I gave you? The big thing to God is faithfulness. And of course, we aren't always faithful. And I'm thankful that God is faithful even when we are not. But there is something to be said about taking it upon yourself to really seek God and about your gifts, to do some self-evaluation, to try and recognize some of your own capabilities that he's giving you, and then to really come up with some goals and some things to figure out, okay, how do I really begin to walk in this? How will this passion of mine contribute to the kingdom? Where do I fit into God's plan? and to really kind of think about that, because we're not just really out here by ourselves acting as independent units. We're really called to be as one body. So you might be a hand while somebody else is a leg, but we are also important to each other still. So, you know, some people may downplay the hand. You know, well, it's not the brain, it's not the brains of the operation, but there are some tasks that only that hand can't complete. And so, you know, if you're not walking in your purpose, you really may be putting others at a disadvantage, right? And so you're not operating really in God's plan for your life. So of course, if he had that plan for you, you know, of course, it's not all about you. So you have to really think about how you're affecting others. You know, that young girl that might need to hear your testimony to encourage her to continue her walk. You know, how are you affecting her if you never put your testimony out there? That kid that you're called to, and not saying it won't be multiple, but even if it's just one soul to the Lord is worth its weight in gold or more, right? And so, you know, I think sometimes we think it has to be such large scale in our eyes. And it's like, God, like, if you touch one person, he told me that myself. If you touch one person, is that not enough? Because I'm like, God, am I going to be a best-selling author? Like, I didn't want to write anything if I wasn't going to be best-selling. But he's like, so if you touch one person, one of my people, that's not enough. I'm like, yeah, you're right, it is. And so just to encourage you of the same thing, you know, if it's one person, and of course God multiplies, so I'm not ever saying it'll be just one person, but even if it is just the one kid, the one girl, the one homeless person, you know, whoever that can be touched through a conversation, that can be touched through a book, a podcast, Instagram Live, you know, there are, if you're not walking in that obedience, that person that was supposed to be touched by you, that you're supposed to show up for, you know, what happens to them? And not saying somebody can't be praying for them. They can't pray for themselves and God calls somebody else to show up, because I don't believe he'll forsake them 100% just because of one person's disobedience. But I do say if he has a perfect plan for your life and you're not walking in it, you know, that affects more than just you, for sure. So again, just to say, God wants us to be faithful over what he has given us. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. I thought this was harsh, this parable, but honestly, if you look in Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, you know, we all have our moments of unbelief, but if essentially you're living your entire life in fear, you know, you are not able to please God that way, because you're not living it in faith. You're living it in fear, and that is not a lifestyle that you can really please God with. And you likely won't be super happy with the conversation you have with him when that day comes. Again, just to remember that if you have the willingness to walk in your purpose and to submit your will to his, he will multiply it. So it's not that you have to be so much within yourself. And oftentimes I've noticed that God will kind of take what seems to be one of, so on the one hand, he's given us some natural strengths and some gifts and some passions that can allude to the purpose. The purpose that he has for us. But also he will use our strengths, and his grace will show up and be the strength in our weakness. So there might be some things that you think you can't do, that if you just go ahead and walk by faith, God will multiply that thing. So for instance, never thought I'd be the one with the podcast, never, you know, wanted to be in the public eye to any capacity at all. But that is something that God's really pushing me outside of my comfort zone. There's some other things I'm working on right now that I'm like, God, this is not me. But yeah, it's who he created me to be. And there are some times where, like I said, he'll use the strengths he's already giving you. But then there are a lot of times as well where your actual weaknesses, he'll show up in that so that he can get the glory, right? Because when people look at me or look at you, and we really begin to walk in the fullness of our purpose, and it'd be like, wow, that had to be God, because I knew her way back when, and that ain't even her, right? So, you know, there are some aspects of our life that he allows his glory to show up in, but for sure, I do believe that analyzing your strengths and passions will certainly, you know, give you a good idea of what your purpose may be. And of course, it's going to be bigger than what you come up with. It's going to be bigger than what God tells you right now. But that will really, you know, get you started thinking on the right path and help you to align your goals with that. Again, just to think, you know, some examples. If you're really good with kids, they may not seem like a lot, but you might be that teacher who changes lives, right? You know, I can think back to some teachers that I had that really, like, one thing they said to me affected me so much that I still remember. I'm sure you do too. So you're good with kids. You might downplay that, but you know, you might be the one that they remember 20, 30 years later as they're trying to walk into their own purpose. You know, if you're really good with finances, maybe interest rates and tax breaks, like that stuff just clicks for you. It just makes sense. Who says that you weren't called to pull your community out of poverty just by equipping them with the same knowledge? So I said all that to say, don't sleep on yourself. Don't downplay. You know, you might think, okay, well, I don't have a lot. I don't have as much as the next person. Okay, well, even if you're the person with one talent, God will still multiply that if you allow him to do so. So don't put your purpose and your gifts in a hole. Don't sleep on yourself, you know. And with that, I think that's a great time to go ahead and transition into our goal check-in. And just a reminder that your quote-unquote homework last week was I asked you to list the steps required to achieve your top 2 to 3 goals and then put them in order of what must be accomplished first. And I think I used the example of if you want to be a district attorney, right, and all the education that you have up until now is maybe high school, then those steps would be something like, you know, you'd have to get your bachelor's. You'd have to get your, you know, you'd have to, of course, go to law school. Then you have to pass that the bar. You know, then you might be an assistant to a district attorney. Then you might go ahead and be able to walk into that DA role. Right? So there are steps to whatever it is that you want to do. And I'd ask you to go ahead and list those steps and then put them in order. Right? You can't pass the bar until you've done the required education to set yourself up to be able to do that. Going from that, if you did go ahead and do that already, if you didn't, you know, go ahead. I'm not collecting the homework. Go ahead and do it now, this week. If you did already do that, then the next thing I would say is to go ahead and set deadlines for each of those goals. You know, be realistic. Again, I do have my goals workbook. Draft Your Roadmap to Success, the 365-day goal workbook, available on Amazon, my website. You know, but there's plenty of information out there about developing SMART goals, you know, if you'd rather go that route. But the thing is, you do have to have a deadline. It can't be like, well, eventually, well, one day, well, when the time is right. Set a deadline. Give yourself a certain amount of time to do it, but you do want to be realistic. So if you're at, you know, setting a deadline for that step of getting my bachelor's degree, well, that's going to take 4 years, right? So there might be a program to do it in 3. So if you feel motivated and you look into that program and you determine that that's realistic, that's fine. But, you know, if it's going to take that 4 years, then don't say, okay, by 2024, I'm going to have my bachelor's degree, if that's not something that can realistically be done. You'll end up frustrated and you might even give up altogether if you set goals that are not realistic. Okay, so give yourself a deadline for each of those steps. And then you would want to further break down any tasks. So I differentiate, even in my workbook, the difference between steps and tasks. And so I would say the steps would be, you know, the bigger steps that you'd have to complete. So bachelor's degree, finish law school, take the bar. You know, those would be steps. Whereas I say tasks are like the little, you know, tasks that you have to do to realistically be able to complete that step. So for instance, that first step of getting your bachelor's degree, that first task for that may be like, search schools that have what you want to study, right? Then another task would be apply for those schools, apply for scholarships, right? So there would be different tasks that you would complete to actually be able to complete each step. That's how I like to break it down. You know, do what's easier for you, but that's how I do my goals. Just so that it's all the way broken down, and I kind of try not to leave anything up in the air. Of course, life happens, but I try to have a solid, albeit a little flexible plan, right? Because life does happen, but have a solid plan. So, you know, and then maybe I would even suggest like setting deadlines for that. So if you're saying I'm going to have my bachelor's degree by June 1st of 2026, you know, then maybe you want to have a search schools with your desired degree, desired programs, right, by the end of next month. You know, you want to have applied for 3 scholarships by the end of next month. You know, so make it plain. Make it plain to yourself so you can get it done. Even God told Habakkuk, write the vision down, okay? And then just to go ahead and get started. So again, if you have already listed those steps and put those in order that are required to achieve your top 2 to 3 goals, and I would try to organize it as best you could. So goal one and the steps for goal one, the tasks, the deadlines. Goal two, the steps for goal two, the tasks, the deadlines. And so this is why we had picked the top 2 to 3 goals, because otherwise it can get overwhelming, you know, and you want to work on things, not necessarily one at a time, but you definitely don't want to overwhelm yourself with too many things at a time. So yeah, go ahead and do that. Get started. Don't sleep on yourself. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and go into prayer. God, I just lift up everybody who is hearing the sound of my voice right now, Lord God. God, we ask that you bless us and keep us. Turn your face toward us and be gracious to us. Shine your countenance upon us and give us peace, dear Lord. God, we come to you fully believing that you have a perfect plan and purpose for our lives, Lord God. We ask that you open our hearts to receive that plan. We ask that you open our eyes to see our lives as you see them. Help us to evaluate our passions and our strengths and even our weaknesses to come into a better understanding of the will that you have for us. Help us to multiply the talents and the gifts that you've given us. Speak to us, Lord, make it plain. If we are currently digging a hole and bearing what you've given us, Lord God, because of fear, we ask that you confront those fears, Lord God. We ask that you be not only our disciplinarian, but our comforter, Lord God, and our counselor, as only you can be. God, lead us into the way that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. And with that, I'm out.